Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys, I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Ahoy, listeners!
Ahoy!
I wanted to surprise you with that.
Surprise me indeed.
I'm not going to beat around the bush since what we're talking about today is...
Bushes?
No, not bushes. What? Because I said beat around the bush.
Yes.
What we're talking about today is in the name of the episode, so I can't really lead up to what we're talking about very smoothly.
Well, I don't know what the name of the episode is.
It's called The Ghosts of the Queen Mary.
Oh.
So this is Queen Mary, in case you didn't read, but that is what you're about to listen to. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Hang on. Dang it. Okay. Wait for it.
Sounds like some bad gas.
That is the Queen Mary. Okay.
That's
actually the Queen Mary.
Okay.
So you're on a ship right now. Okay. Whether you're driving or you're getting ready for the day or whatever. Okay. You're on a ship right now.
I'm feeling a little seasick as you speak.
That's really rude. So you know what freaks me out is the ocean. And we've talked about that before. The vast nothingness freaks me out. Like deserts also freak me out. You went on a cruise, right? When you were in high school?
Yeah.
Or it was a part of your graduation gift.
Yeah.
What was the best part of it and what was the worst part of it?
Wow. I was 18. That was 84 years ago.
Many moons ago.
I guess the best part was the food because it was all you could
constant.
Eat.
Constant.
Yes. I had a couple lobsters one night just because they kept coming. I guess the worst is probably the rocking. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
So, sometimes you know you're on a boat.
Yeah.
And that gets a little sick, but I only got sick. I didn't actually get sick, but, I stayed in the room one night because it was a little too rocky and I didn't want to be moving around.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, for me, the best, because we went in 2012, so it's still been a million years, but still. The best part was really unplugging and, all the activities that were just within walking distance.
I like how yours is all the activities and mine is food.
Yeah.
That's so great.
No, the food is plentiful and I do like that. No, I for sure like that. But I like that there's constantly something to do and, you can walk to all of it because they have to put it on a ship and you can't drive on a ship. So everything is just within walking distance. So I like that.
Yeah.
That's what makes me think that this suburban girl could live in a city where I'm if everything was walking distance, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be really cool.
But it's just a convenient vacation. That's kind of what I thought. It was just super convenient. You know, I can go to the pool. I can go to,
get a
the salon. Get a massage. I can, go to the club, whatever.
I could totally picture you at a club.
Yeah, that was not really for me. But the worst part was for Casey, there actually both of them were bad things that happened to Casey.
Oh, no.
So there was a tropical storm further out in the Gulf. So it was not directly in our path, but the waves were especially rocky. So it was causing the ship to go back and forth a majority of the time. And Casey had a really hard time with that. We actually couldn't stop at Nassau because of it, because the storm was really bad.
Oh, no. Did you get rain on the ship or was it far enough out there?
I can't remember if we got rain or not. But I remember thinking it was far off. We weren't in danger of anything because we kept sailing on. But everything was just rockier.
Mm-hmm.
And then on whenever we stopped in the Florida Keys, because this was a Bahaman cruise. Bahamas cruise? Bahaman?
I don't think you say that. I think it's just Bahama.
Bahama. Okay. So Casey he caught a flesh-eating virus in his leg. So
I recall that.
That was pretty horrible. Good news that if it had to happen, it was on the last day of the trip, so it didn't spoil the actual trip. But it definitely ruined that, euphoric vacation vibe you come home with.
Yeah, you just remember it as that's where Casey got flesh-eating bacteria.
Exactly. So, that's the taste it leaves in your mouth. That's the vacation. So, yeah, that part sucked.
So you want to go on a cruise again?
Yeah, I'm 12 years past it. Now, I am, during COVID, I was I would never go on a cruise right now. Mm-hmm. But now that we're kind of moving past that, I'm like, maybe. I mean, I really would like to go on an Alaskan cruise.
That would be amazing.
Like, I feel like I want to go to Alaska, but I don't know where to go in Alaska. So I feel like that would be a good, like, dip my toes into Alaska.
Yeah.
But man, I really want to go there. So every time I think about a cruise now, it's going in Alaska.
Well, I'm going to go with you.
That's fine.
Okay.
So today we embark on a journey into the depths of the supernatural, exploring the haunted history of the iconic ocean liner turned hotel. The Queen Mary was once the epitome of luxury and elegance, and I mean, it like set the standard for luxury liners. It sailed the vast ocean with grace and grandeur. I was really thinking I wasn't going to get that word out and sound nice at all. But there's a dark tale with the Queen Mary, one steeped in tragedy and in mystery. So the Queen Mary was a colossal ship. She was not only bigger than the Titanic, but she was also faster and more powerful. And for those that may not remember, the Titanic sank in 1912. The Queen Mary was built between 1931 to 1934 and was christened by Queen Mary herself on September 26th, 1934.
Oh, did she ever go on that ship?
I think just to christen it.
Okay.
Just say I christen thee, and I actually don't know.
Off to my palace now.
I don't know what christening a ship entails at all.
This must be like a blessing or, you know.
But apparently she was very flattered it was named after her. And it's a ship that's still around today, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is pretty neat.
So she took her maiden voyage May 27th, 1936 from Southampton, England. For a short time, she was hosting the rich and the famous across the globe. Dukes and duchesses, Clark Gable, Sir Winston Churchill are just some of the names. The ship had two cocktail bars, two swimming pools, five dining rooms, a ballroom, and a lot more. So let's just jump to the first death. So the first death on the ship...
That was a horrible way to say it.
Pivot!
Let's jump to the first death.
It actually happened like a few months after the first maiden voyage. So like chronologically, I didn't just like go that far into time. It really just happened very quick.
Gotcha.
So October 1936, remember the maiden voyage was May 1936. The ship's first captain, Captain Edgar Britton, was found unconscious in his cabin. He likely died of a stroke just within months of the first maiden voyage.
Okay.
So just very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I guess at least not completely tragic, too, because that would be like a really, really rough start.
Mm-hmm.
Another death came sometime in the 1930s, and this was Jacqueline, a.k.a. Jackie Torin. She was 5 years old and drowned in the pool of the ship. The ship had two indoor pools.
Okay.
And we don't know a lot about her or her story, but her spirit is often seen, and some guests say that they can hear her calling for her parents.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's incredibly gut-wrenching. That really bums me out that that's her and her afterlife.
I'm just a mad mama.
She's like looking for her mom.
Papa.
Okay, we don't have to do what we think she sounds like.
God.
So there's also reporting of a little boy that supposedly drowned, but I could not find much information about it. Today, the pool is not a functioning pool, but both ghosts are often reported.
Now, it's an empty pool?
It is empty. I don't know what's... Something's around it. Like, I mean, that would just be a huge hazard, but... Yeah, it's not like a functioning pool anymore.
Okay.
Now, Queen Mary begins sailing in 1936, but unfortunately, a major historical event ushered in a time where vacationing, especially via cruise, was not going to happen.
A war.
This event was World War II.
I knew it.
Good guess. So luxury liners would not be a thing during this time, especially in the Atlantic, because U-boats... You know, those submarines.
U-boats.
So they're called U-boats. So like everything else, Queen Mary went to war. She became a warship. So she only had 3 years as a luxury liner before she became a part of the war effort.
Wow. I never thought about including cruise ships as warships.
They needed it. I mean, there were shortages. And so they were like, okay, strip her of her paint. They painted it gray. Like they made it look more like a warship.
Wow.
So by the end of World War II, she carried over 800,000 troops and traveled more than 600,000 miles. The ship's name during wartime was the Gray Ghost.
Okay. That would make me a little upset if I was Queen Mary.
It went back to being Queen Mary. But it was named that because it was much faster than the U-boats, which, like I said, the U-boats, if you just don't remember from history class, they're the German submarine boats. That's what they were called. In German, it was the Unterseeboot, which translates to under the sea boat. Yeah, so it's faster than the German submarines, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
So the unlucky streak of the Queen Mary continued on through the war, and October 2nd, 1942, its biggest tragedy occurred. So the Queen Mary was being escorted by another ship called the HMS Curaçao from New York to Glasgow. The Curaçao was much smaller than the Queen Mary. It was about 1/20th the size of the Queen Mary. So that's
significantly smaller.
Yeah, I kind of imagined kind of like a tugboat to a larger ship kind of situation, except it was not tugging Queen Mary, but it was like escorting.
Yeah.
Well, crossing the Atlantic during 1942 was extremely dangerous due to the U-boats torpedoing Allied ships. So not the safest time to be sailing. So to combat this problem, the Curaçao was zigzagging to try to confuse the U-boats. What ended up happening was that Queen Mary was too big to zigzag. So as the Curaçao was zigzagging itself in front of the Queen Mary, escorting it, the Queen Mary ended up catching up to the ship, traveling at 28.5 knots. And just plowed right into it and literally broke the Curaçao in half.
Wow.
And like I said, it's 1/20th the size of the Queen Mary. So it just like
easily half snapped it
broke
half.
And immediately started sinking.
Wow. They get the people off?
So many were still aboard the vessel when it began sinking and it was moving pretty fast. Because, yeah, it's not a hole in the ship. It's freaking in half.
Yeah.
So it's a faster sink. So some jumped off or were thrown off. They had to fight for their life. And again, this is the North Atlantic region. So this is cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Many were sucked into the propeller and quite literally were just chopped up. Several did drown and or got hypothermia. This is a tragedy of epic proportions. So what makes this even worse, though, is that the Queen Mary's protocol during the war was that they had to keep sailing on. They were not allowed to stop.
Oh, no. And they just left them to die?
Well, they did call the British to send for help for them, but because this was a warship, it couldn't stop because then you're risking everybody aboard this ship, too.
Yeah.
So the British did arrive within a few hours, but only 99 of the 430 crew members survived the crash.
Wow. That's really sad.
Yeah. And I saw, just to make sure I'm being accurate here, I saw both the numbers in the 330s and 430s, but 430 was the most common.
Okay.
But kind of crazy, this was not publicly known until after the war. This was pretty hush-hush that this accident happened between two Allied ships.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I could imagine that that's probably more for morale, because like things sucked during the war. Do you really want to tell everybody right now that you accidentally had some tragic deaths from our own people?
I could see that.
So this probably would have been very embarrassing for the Allies at the time. So that story did not come out until after the war was over. But isn't that crazy?
That is. It's a lot of 300 something people died.
Yes.
That you're not talking about.
Yeah. I'm sure they said they died, you know, due to the war effort, but just didn't say like exactly how they died.
The Queen Mary did it. It was an accident, but.
Yeah. So today, many have claimed to hear screams from the boiler room in the bow of the ship, which is where Queen Mary had made contact with the Curaçao. But this wasn't the only time the ship saw death during the war. There was an estimated death every 4 hours aboard the ship, according to one of the archivists for the ship.
Oh, man.
Many died of heat exhaustion, and even soldiers would jump from the ship trying to swim to shore or escape the war. I'm not 100% sure, but really sad. So another really strange story I found, and I found this on BuzzFeed Unsolved. One other source briefly mentioned it, and then I couldn't find it detailed anywhere else. But they said that during the war, the ship picked up a group of Australian soldiers. They didn't like the ship's chef. That's really hard to say, by the way.
Ship chef.
For some reason, and so they put him in the walk-in oven and left him there to burn to death.
Why did they do that? That's not an ally.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That is so rude.
Yeah, like what was wrong with the, for multiple people to be like, you know what, we're putting this guy in the oven. Like,
your food,
what is that?
Sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it had to be more than food, right?
Just leave a bad review.
You would think.
Yeah.
That was one of the jokes they made on BuzzFeed Unsolved, is like, well, instead of giving him a one on Yelp, they put him in the oven instead. Yeah, so, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say that's not true because I did see it two times, but like nobody nobody goes into detail about it. And I'm like, how are we still not talking about this? We should still be talking about it.
We should.
But I, so I was disappointed that only two sources had it. Details were very limited. But supposedly you can hear screams from the former. I think they've redone this kitchen now and it might be something else, but you can hear screams from there at night.
That sucks.
So 1945, World War II's over. And of course, there's got to be that reprieve time. The world's got to start getting back in order. People are readjusting. So also, like, you live in a world now where a freaking atomic bomb exists.
Yeah, I can't imagine getting back to normal.
Yeah, like getting back to normal after that. Like, I feel like so much history had just happened in that time period, especially from like World War I, 1914 to 1945.
Yeah.
Like the biggest amount of history and the biggest like technological advances happened in the world. And so the world must feel so different at that time. Like, how are we going to be normal after this? So it was 1947 that the Queen Mary became a luxury liner again.
That's got to be so weird. Just strip off the gray paint.
Yeah.
Paint it all luxury again. Like nothing happened.
Yep. Yep. It's, yeah, now just a regular ship again.
Okay.
So the next year, 1948, British third class passenger Walter Adamson passed away in his room. We do not know the cause of death. He died in room B340. This room has seen a lot of strange activity. One notably in 1966. A woman was staying in the room and woke up to the covers being pulled off her and a man standing at the foot of the bed watching her.
That sounds terrifying.
That is terrifying. And I'm sorry, there is nothing scarier than the thought of somebody watching you at night. Like, Paranormal Activity, that movie scared the shit out of me.
I hate that movie.
Because she was watching him for hours. And something about that, like, Casey, if he did that one time, I would lock the door at night and he would not be allowed in ever again. Like, one time that would happen.
Let's hope he doesn't do that.
No, over. Done. Like, over. No excuses for that. So, yeah. So she wakes up and there's a man at the foot of the bed watching her. After she screamed, the figure vanished. So I don't know what Walter is up to in the afterlife, but it sounded a little bit pervy.
It sounds real creepy.
Especially pulling the covers off. You're not just watching her sleep. You're freaking pulling the covers off. What are your intentions, sir?
Right? And then what does he do after? Just go back to staring at her?
He just, like, disappears. He's like, oh, I was caught. Bye.
Okay.
Let me go back into the walls or
what
I don't know.
What a weirdo.
So, I don't know. I don't want to misrepresent Walter and say he's a perv. I just feel like that is inappropriate behavior. Walter needs to get it together.
Yeah.
So, since then, reports are of running water in the middle of the night, knocking on doors and walls, and sometimes the covers being pulled off guests. They really only allow guests in this room that specifically ask for it because of the strange occurrences here. They actually didn't allow anybody in this room for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Before they ended up reopening it. And they really ran with a haunted theme at that point and tell people, like, basically, like, you want a spooky experience. Oh, I just hit the table again.
What do you think Walter did for 30 years without having anybody to creep
on? I had
on?
No one to watch. I don't know. He realized it wasn't that important and he didn't need it anymore.
Maybe.
Or maybe, like, once he was cut off, he was like, you know what? Let me just go into the light officially. Stop lingering here on this earth.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah, it was closed for 30 years and then they decided to run with the haunted theme. So if you would like to stay there, it's meant for a spooky experience. And they have a Ouija board, tarot cards, and a crystal ball in there.
So that's all the Queen Mary is now, is a haunted location?
No, just that room.
Okay.
Well, it's for sure a haunted location. They've actually had paranormal I don't think it's a paranormal psychologist, like some paranormal person actually stayed there for 18 months straight.
That's excessive.
He was asked to, I think he was paid to do it. Like some group related to the ship sent him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like there's been a ton of investigations on the Queen Mary.
Okay.
So the next story comes from thedeadhistory.com. On the evening of the 18th, and I believe we are in 1949 here, Captain Andrew Matt Keller asked Officer Stark to go to the cabin of the staff and prepare some drinks for the captain himself and two other officers who would shortly be off duty. Specifically, he asked him to make gin and limes. When Stark got to the cabin to make the drinks, he couldn't find the gin. He asked Captain Stewart's Captain Steward. That was really hard because I want to call that, like, that's his Captain Steward. I'm not going to talk. Frederick Stokes to help him. In the dimly lit cabin, the two men searched for gin until finally Stokes found what he thought was a bottle of gin in one of the cupboards. He handed it off to Stark, who made the drinks.
What is it?
At 9:45 that evening, Captain McKellar saw Stark when he came to report after doing his rounds. At the coroner's inquest, Captain McKellar testified that Stark said, "That was funny gin we had, sir, at dinner time." It was then that Captain realized that Stokes had mistakenly grabbed the old gin bottle that now held carbon tetrachloride, which was used to clean furniture.
What? Yeah, that just sounds dangerous.
Yeah. So according
to... Wait, so it's in an old gin bottle, though?
Yeah.
Like, how would... Why?
I don't know. Like, that should have been...
Label it.
An explanation. Like,
for wood cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, did... It's confusing, because then you're like, did no one else drink this gin? Or nobody saw it and was like, oh, hope no one drank out of this bottle. There's tetrachloride in here.
Do you think you would notice, too, with the first sip and just stop drinking it?
Yes, except what if he, like, never drank that much and he didn't really know what alcohol tasted like?
Well, that seems...
Like, alcohol tastes terrible.
Why is gin your first drink, then?
I don't know.
But...
Well, if he... I don't know.
Sounds like murder.
So, according to the captain, the actual gin was kept in a separate cupboard along with the glassware. In the dim light, Stokes didn't notice the bottle he grabbed was dirty, which probably was not Captain's gin. The captain immediately notified the ship's doctor, who informed Stark that he needed to come to the ship's hospital straight away to have his stomach pumped, as carbon tetrachloride was highly toxic. From all reports, William did not think it was that big of a deal. Not only did he refuse to have his stomach pumped, he joined the other officers to have actual drinks with gin and lime juice. So, like, he drank some, and then he was like, I'm good. I don't need my stomach pumped. I'm just going to go drink some more.
That sounds smart. So, yeah, I don't think he's not used to drinking then if he went on to drink more.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the tetrachloride made him a little loopy.
Maybe.
He was like, yeah, sure, more. Because, like, you see people that are teetering alcohol poisoning, and they keep drinking alcohol.
True.
Numerous men would testify that Officer Stark treated the whole incident lightly and joked it off. By the following day, Officer Stark's health had started to decline. The coroner's inquest stated that he was in bed receiving injections and treatment. On September 20th, the Queen Mary arrived at Southampton. Officer Stark was immediately taken to the Royal Southants Hospital. It appears that Stark was not comatose at this point because he was able to see and speak with his wife. She asked him why he refused to have his stomach pumped, and he said, I didn't think anything of it. So within 3 days after having drank the poison, Officer William Stark died from carbon tetrachloride poisoning. It was 2 days before his birthday.
Aw, that's sad.
So had he just had his stomach pumped, he could have very well lived, but he literally did not take it seriously.
Yeah. It's hard to feel bad for that. Of course I do, because he died, and that's a bad end result.
Right, like he didn't know that.
But he should have been a little smarter.
Or, like, maybe he's a guy that has a strong stomach, so he didn't, like, vomit or, like, have symptoms, so maybe he thought it was okay. But if he didn't vomit, that also means it's staying in your body, so yeah. It's being absorbed by all of your organs and everything. So, anywho, another horrific accident came in 1966. An 18-year-old crew member by the name of Jay Petter was part of a routine safety drill on the ship. He was in the engine room when the safety drill was being conducted, and he was supposed to go through a mechanical airtight door that would close off the engine room in case the ship started flooding. And is probably giving you Titanic vibes.
Yeah.
If you remember all the airtight door shutting to prevent the ship from flooding, that's literally what this routine drill was, except it's not an actual flood event.
Yeah.
Jay Petter was apparently playing a game of chicken and was trying to wait until the last minute to go through the door when it crushed half of his body.
Oh, gross.
From his collarbone to his liver, he was crushed.
Did he die immediately?
He died pretty quick. They did try to rush him to the hospital, but yeah, he had lost so much blood and sure had internal bleeding.
Yeah.
So he did not survive. So this is known as Door 13, which, like, also creepy.
Because of the number 13?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Because of the number 13. Like,
what? It's also creepy?
That they named it? No. Yeah, just that it's 13. And And several sources said two people had died there, but I didn't find anything about another person dying there. So maybe two, but at least Jay Petter. It's just, yeah, and it's creepy that it's number 13. It just makes it a little bit more sinister.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay Petter is a prankster in the afterlife. He has been known to make loud noises that scare people. He may appear as a dark silhouette, and he even chases people and whistles. So that's cool.
I would hate to be chased by whistling.
I hate being chased. I hate the game hide and seek. It freaks me out.
Yes.
And anything with like tag, I like my anxiety goes in my throat. Like I feel my heart in my throat. It freaks me out. I hate it.
So
and
it's like not getting much for a laser tag or anything like that.
That is intense for me.
It is.
It's a little bit easier because it's usually in the dark. And so something about that.
You like the dark more than the light?
Yeah.
Weird. You're weird.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of weird about the dark. There's times when the dark creeps me out, but Casey has to turn on lights everywhere he goes because he gets so freaked out of anything he can't see.
Yeah.
Plus, sometimes I stand in the dark and just randomly start speaking to him to freak him out, so he's just traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess the dark feels safer, like maybe they can't see me or something. Okay, so like we said, post-World War II, the world was changing. One of the after effects of the war was the new and improved technological advances. So one of those advances from World War I and World War II was commercial planes. So because of commercial travel, luxury ships started to fall out of popularity by the 1960s because commercial airlines became a relatively cheap way to travel. So going via ship was not only slower, but also not so cost effective.
Yeah.
Which is funny because now that we are 60 plus years past, like when commercial airlines became a popular thing, cruises are still also popular.
They are.
It's not like they died out over the last 60 years. Like,
yeah.
I think they do go in and out of popularity. And like COVID didn't help, you know, the cruise business.
Yeah.
But it's starting to come back. And there's lots of people that are going back on cruises now.
Yeah, I'd go on one.
So, but the other issue with the Queen Mary and other ships from her time period is that they also did not have central air conditioning.
Oh.
And she did start at this time going more into like the Bahamas and different islands and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So not having central AC was, I'm sure, are very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Also, the ship did not have an outdoor pool, which was starting to be a thing in the 1960s, is more and more outdoor pools.
That's so weird that indoor pools were ever more popular than outdoor pools.
Right? That's so weird. I hate indoor pools, honestly. I like an indoor hot tub. Yeah, and it smells like chlorine. I feel like I'm hotboxing chlorine. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And the floor slimy.
It's just wet.
Screw that. I hate indoor pools, and I hate it more now that we're talking about it.
Yes.
But yeah, it had two indoor pools and no outdoor pool. So it was kind of like I don't think so. So it was less desirable. By 1967, the Queen Mary was officially pulled off duty after over 1,000 transatlantic crossings. She was now retired. That same year in 1967, Long Beach, California purchased the Queen Mary for $3.45 million or $3.45.
Wow.
So, and she is used as a maritime hotel and museum where she is to this day permanently docked. So at this point, she's a luxury liner, or a luxury liner, a luxury hotel that attracts guests both earthly and spiritually from all over the world. And some have claimed to hear faint strains of music and laughter echoing through the corridors long after midnight. But it's in the ship's infamous engine room that the most malevolent spirits are said to reside. I also couldn't find a lot of information about this, but there was a man whose remains, and I'm doing air quotes because that's how I read it, a man's remains were found in there, which I feel like remains is not a way you would say a guy that dropped dead of a heart attack in the engine room.
Yeah, you would say like pieces of his body.
Yeah, remains does sound like pieces of his body, or even like he'd been there for a long time if it was like skeletal remains, you know?
Yeah.
So don't know about that, but there is a little bit more of a darker spirit known as Grumpy.
Oh, look out for Grumpy.
It sounds so goofy. Also reminds me of Johnny Depp when he said Amber Heard's dog had made a grumpy in bed.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, what? Making a grumpy?
Talking about shit.
Yeah. He was. So, known as Grumpy among the staff, this dark entity is said to harbor a deep resentment towards the living. He manifests as cold spots, flickering lights, and unsettling whispers in the dead of night.
Unsettling whisper.
Yeah. What the heck do you have to say to me at night that you couldn't say to me during the day?
Ugh.
Tell me. Get out of here. Like, I don't want to hear about it.
God.
So many guests have reported the experience as snarling growls that surround the ears of visitors. So it sounds like it's like coming from all over. And it happens in multiple places around the ship. And the ghost is often accompanied by the smell of cigarette smoke.
It'll be my ghost.
Yeah, that's fine for you. I want one that smells like, you know, flowers or something. But perhaps the most haunting of all the presents is known as the Lady in White. And isn't
always a Lady in White?
What is that? Is that like, do we only get one outfit when we die? Or is like one color choice?
I think so.
I think we go to heaven and they're like, here's your new closet. And it's all white.
That's probably what it is. Or you're just a black silhouette. You don't get an option.
Well, then I guess I'm going to be the black silhouette because I don't wear white now. I'm a spiller.
I'm going to be the Lady in White. You can't spill when you're dead.
I feel like I'll still find a way. I'll be the stained lady in white, and that's what they'll call me, and that'll be my ghost name.
Stained that's, lady.
This sloppy bitch can't even like keep herself clean in the afterlife. That would be me. Okay, so Lady in White, she was believed to be a ghost of a young woman who supposedly met a tragic end aboard the Queen Mary, but I don't know what that end was. There are at least 49 deaths that have been recorded in the ship's history. And
49 times.
I fought that beast. Yeah, so, and they all have very vague, a lot of them just say natural causes. A few say man overboard. I did see a few that said accidental death, but that's all it said. So this woman may have been under the accidental death category, but I don't know what that death was.
Like, she could have tripped and a knife went inside of her.
Yeah, be more specific.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So her shadowy figure can be seen gliding through the darkened corridors and her gaze piercing through the veils between worlds. So she kind of goes back and forth. You see her and you don't see her. And it's definitely believed that there are vortexes or portals on the Queen Mary. And there's some spots that have some much stronger energy and activities than others. It's interesting. So despite the chilling tales that surround her, the Queen Mary continues to welcome guests from around the world, and they are drawn by the allure of her haunted past. But as the night falls and the shadows lengthen, one can't help but wonder what secrets lie hidden in the depths of their haunted halls. So that's all, folks.
That was great. I would like to visit there. That'd be a fun place to stay.
Yes, we should stay there.
We should.
I was literally going to be like, I wonder if Lainey would stay there with me or if she'd be like.
I feel like I would. Like, not the Conjuring House, but a little hotel.
Why not the Conjuring House, but Queen Mary? Yes.
I think it's bigger. There's more people to protect me. There's a creepiness to it, but it's also like people visit it every day. Whereas The Conjuring, it could have as many visitors, but I don't want it.
Okay. Maybe like creepy Rhode Island is just not sitting well with you, but like
dark vibes. I don't think anything good will come of that.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I want to stay at the Queen Mary. I just want to go to all of them. So I guess if you need to bow out on some, that's fine. I'll just go and let you know how it is. Or if I'm like, Lainey, I'm changed. I'll never be the same now.
What do you mean? What are you changing into?
I am afraid of having, because I go in as a skeptic and I'm like, but I want to try it. But then there's this other part of me that's like, but what if you do it and you see something, Ashley, and you'll literally be shattered and you'll never be the same? Like, have you ever thought if you really saw like a...
Yes, that's how I feel about the Conjuring
entity. Okay, yeah. If you did see some kind of entity that you would, and boom, your whole mind explodes. Because then I'm like, anything could exist.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden it would just open up a can of worms for me that like, if that exists, what else exists? If I see a werewolf, what else exists? If I see a freaking vampire, everything exists. Like,
yeah.
So there are times where I'm like, you need to stop being so brazen, Ashley, and start thinking of the consequences of your decisions.
I just feel like the devil resides there. I just don't want to.
Well, you know what? If you're getting those vibes, then I'm not going to push you to do that because you should follow your feelings then. Maybe I should reconsider and just send a drone to let me know how it is.
Yes.
I won't actually
visit. I'll watch drone footage with you. That's fine.
So just a very few arbitrary anecdotes about Long Beach, California. Snoop Dogg was born there.
Wow, that is awesome.
Long Beach gets about 345 days of sunshine on average per year, which that's a lot of sun.
Hey, Snoop Dogg grew up there, or born there at least.
Yeah, he grew up there too. Long Beach is a popular destination for whale watching.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
It is fascinating. And of course, it's home to the most haunted ship in the world, the Queen Mary.
Is it?
It is. So thank you guys so much for listening. We wanted to let you know that we may be sporadically posting episodes. Life has just been really crazy lately. So please keep coming back to check. We're trying to post on Tuesdays if we do post an episode. So I think that that's what you can expect. If you're feeling generous, we do have a Venmo at HauntedRE. Leave us a property you'd like us to cover in the comments and or tell us where you're from. I don't want to promise that we'll cover anything that you put in there because there are times where people have put in things and we can't find anything. And yeah. What do we do in that? So we will do our best. So if you would like to just send us a recommendation or an interesting real estate story, you can email us at hauntedrepod@gmail.com. You can go follow us on Instagram at haunted.real.estate. And please, if you could rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform, we would so appreciate it. It helps us get more listeners like you. And lastly, if you're looking for an agent in the Houston market, give myself or Casey, my husband partner, a try. We'd be honored to assist you in your home buying and selling needs. So that I don't give you more information to try and remember, just go ahead and email hauntedrepod@gmail.com and we'll get you to the right place. Last words, Lainey?
Thank you for telling me where Snoop Dogg was born.
Does that help you in some kind of way?
It does.
Okay.
It makes me a little happy.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg and dog.
You know a little bit more about Snoopy?
Yeah.
Cool. See you guys hopefully next week. You guys have an amazing week and an amazing day.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.